And good afternoon. It is a Monday, January the 16th, 2017, 12:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You are tuned into the Now program. I'm Scott Spears, and happy Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday, no matter where you are. There is a lady I wanted to have on today. She's been on a couple times with us before. She became worldwide famous last year for dancing with the Obamas, President and Mrs. Obama, and last Thursday she threw out the first pitch at the Washington Nationals game at 107 years old. What a pleasure it is for us to welcome to these microphones on this special day, Virginia McLaurin. Virginia, how are you?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Doing very well. What was it like to throw out the first pitch at the ball game? What was it like to throw out the first pitch?
What? Might be in kind of bad.
Oh, no, that's no problem. How did it come about that you would throw out the first pitch at the ball game?
When I grew up with, I don't know, but I can't hear you too well.
Is that a little better, Virginia? That's better. Good. How did it come about that you would throw out the first pitch at the ball game?
I would grow up. I really don't understand that question.
Oh, well, what was it like to go to the baseball game last week? Oh,
that was great. Great. One of the things I always wanted to do in life.
Are you a baseball fan?
Yes.
Good.
But it wasn't baseball like they have. I grew up in baseball, but not the grew up now like the one I went to. Mine was just like with a bat and a ball. But the one man I really enjoyed.
Virginia, the Obamas will be leaving office on Friday. What are your thoughts on President and Mrs. Obama?
What is my right?
Yeah, your thoughts on President and Mrs. Obama.
Never been so happy and enjoy before to meet the president and his wife.
What does this day mean to you, Virginia? Martin Luther King Jr. Day. What does this day mean to you?
What it mean to me?
Yes.
Lot, because I have a friend and her granddaughter married one of his grandson, and I was in Atlanta, Georgia to this wedding, and it was great. It really was. I visited his lover and went to his home where he was born. And it was a great trip to me.
What is it like to be 107?
It is so great for me because I didn't think that I would ever live to get 107.
What did you do special to make it this far, Virginia?
I don't know. I lived the best I knew how. And how my mother taught me to love people and treat people like I want to be treated. And do the best I can for the Lord.
And
I just did that she wished I grew up in church and used to sing with different groups and on the choir. And it was just a happy life for me.
And you're still out there dancing.
Well, I'm still out.
You're still out there dancing.
Boys change at you get a certain age. I think your boys change a lot. What's mine? I can't even sing anymore.
Uh-oh. Did you like to sing?
Oh, I used to love to sing.
What's the best part of being 107?
The best part of being 107, I think, is the Lord is in my right mind, and I love people. I love the Lord, and one of the greatest things when he took me to the White House to meet the president, which I didn't never think I lived to get in the White House. I never thought I would live to see a black president in the White House, and I do one of the greatest things part of my life.
When you were growing up, born in 19... What year were you born in Virginia? 1909?
What was it like?
Yeah, what was your childhood like?
Well, it was great. The only thing that I can remember before I started to school, and I know when I wasn't old enough to go to school, but my older sister was a teacher, and she would teach me a little different things in the little book. We would call it primer, and I could read it by heart, remember it. I wasn't reading, I could remember. And my mother said, I'm going to send you to school. And she said, when you get to school, you tell the teacher you're 6. Because we couldn't go to school until we were 6 years old. And and when I got to school, I was so happy. The teacher said, oh, we got a new student this morning. Little girl, what is your name? And I told her, Virginia. And she said, oh, how old are you? I said, I'm 5, but my mom told me to tell you I was 6. She said, well, you can't come to school until you're 6. My sister spoke up and said, oh, she don't know what she's talking about. She was 6. And the teacher said, oh, you can stay, because they would believe everything a grown-up person. They didn't believe children's too much back in my days.
You know, Virginia, when you were born, women did not have the right to vote. There was still segregation. What was life like back then?
I don't know, but I didn't know anything about, you know, politician. I just didn't thought nothing about it, because that's the way we was grew up. That if it wasn't for children, we wasn't supposed to be, you know, bothered with it or talk about what we didn't know. But it never bothered me too much.
Do you remember the introduction of electricity?
Remember what?
when electricity was introduced?
Like Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Christmas. Christmas was like we almost thought it was a real Santa Claus. when I got married first time, I still didn't know it wasn't a Santa Claus. I thought all the time it was a Santa Claus. And they used to put on these faces like Santa Claus. And I always thought it was Santa Claus for a long time. Before I found out it was your parents.
Virginia, you today's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Do you remember the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.?
What it was like.
Yeah, what was it like to live through that?
Well, you know, when you come up like that from a kid, you know it wasn't right, but it didn't bother you too much because different sign was like black and this is for the white, and you knew you wasn't to use that or go there. And it was just something that you didn't know any better because you were growing up like that. And you didn't pay it too much attention until later, after you began to learn and think about it, and you couldn't understand why this is happening like this.
Virginia, what is life like at 107? What's a typical day like for you?
You know, life, it is great to me to get this age, and I can remember. And I thanks the Lord for the things happening to me and how nice people are to me. And it's great. But I always said, you hear about my going, don't worry about me because I'm just an old soldier going on home to rest.
Mm. Virginia, do you think things are better now with race relations than they were when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. Much, much better. Much better. I've seen the time we would just go in the white man's front door. We would go in the white man's back door. We couldn't go in the front door. We go in the back door and we would leave the back door. Because it was just natural, and we always know when we went to the house we had to go to the back. We couldn't go in the front door.
I tell you, Virginia, as this week comes to an end and we see Barack Obama leave the White House, what has this presidency meant to you, the first black president? I understand.
These things, I have to let the Lord work it out.
That sounds good.
He will do that.
Virginia.
That's all I can say.
Virginia.
Yes.
It. What has it meant to you to see the first black president?
To see the first white president?
No, black president.
Oh, it was one of the happiest things ever happened in my life to see the black man in the White House. And the next happiest thing, I got a chance to get there and shake his hand and dance with him. I was so happy I had to dance. The day I grabbed him.
Well,
I got that chance. It made my soul shout for joy.
Virginia,
I met President Obama and his wife.
Virginia, I am happy you are happy, and in just a few short months you will be 108, and I send you all the best. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you for having me to talk with you.
You take care, Virginia. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, oh boy, Terry, there is a woman who has lived, without question, the 20th century.
Boy, I'm sure she's seen a lot of stuff in her...
Virginia McClernand.
Yeah, a lot of events and everything in her...
Born in 1909. And still going.
Yeah.
She'll be 108 in March.
Yeah. Sounds like, she's still pretty with it, as far as...
Yeah. I mean, the hearing's not even that bad compared to some people who we've talked with before.
Absolutely, yeah.
She said she can't sing anymore, but she's still out there.
I did notice that. Yeah, she said she couldn't sing anymore, but...
God bless her.
That's all right.
What a good person to talk to on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah.
Now, do we dare get into the business of the news?
The news.
There's been a lot of it. A lot of it over the weekend. How could we shy away from it? Okay. Well, here was one of the things in the Esquire magazine this past weekend. Donald Trump and his people, now this is kind of unconfirmed, but they're looking to send the press out of the White House and put him in a building across the street. Now, he says it's because he wants to get more people in to White House press conferences. What do you think?
Well, I think his love of the, or I use it kind of loosely, is a love of the media, we'll say, is that I don't think that that's what it was intended for.
I'm going to take him at his word at this moment, and I'm going to say maybe he just wants to get more people in. And I am of the proponency of that. You should have more media.
Yeah.
I think you should.
Oh, I definitely think you should. I mean, the more media you have, obviously the more accurate I think the story will be,
But I do think there should be some media in the White House because that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
As long as they still have full access.
Sure.
Would be the important part.
That's the only thing, yeah. That was going to be my question, was if they get moved to a different location, are they still going to have the same the word that came to my mind, and maybe I'm wrong about this, you could tell me, it was would they have the same privileges as the...
Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
And that would be the problem. Yeah. So that's that. We'll see what happens with that. We really don't know where that's going. But now here's something interesting. Donald Trump said NATO is obsolete because it was designed a long time ago, and bills are not paid. Marco Rubio is not happy with this statement.
Yeah, I heard that he's a little bit angry about that, so to speak.
And he hasn't voted yet on Tillerson for Secretary of State.
Well, something I was watching today, I think, before I came out, they said that he was asking some he's being pretty hard on him, asking him some pretty tough questions.
It's because Tillerson would not admit that Russia was a war criminal. Putin.
Right.
Was a war criminal. He asked him point blank. He said, would you say Putin's a war criminal? And Tillerson said, I don't have the facts.
Oh, okay.
Now, we had a big discussion on Friday on the exchange about this.
Sure.
Is Vladimir Putin a war criminal?
Boy.
400,000 people dead in Aleppo.
Uh-huh.
He kills journalists who do not agree with him.
Yeah.
He kills people who do not agree with him.
I still really can't say for sure, but boy, all the evidence kind of points towards him, would say.
Well, 400 people slaughtered in Aleppo, do you really have to think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious right there. You know what happened right there.
So what info does Tillerson need?
I don't know. I mean, it's almost kind of like he still doesn't trust the CIA's, when they were saying that they had the information about the hacking. They still didn't believe the CIA. They still chose to believe those guys over our own CIA, and they had all the evidence and facts and everything, and they still...
Well, I mean, if you want to do business with Russia, I guess just say that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's I agree with you on that, if they're, I don't want to use the word allies, but if they're friends of yours, I mean, just... Tell us,
But should we send away NATO? Because that's the new thing on the table.
Definitely. I don't think we should send away NATO.
Because that's what Putin wants.
Uh-huh.
Putin wants destabilization.
It would probably give him free reign then.
Well, Putin is not a member of NATO.
Ah.
And NATO is the alliance, militarily and financially, that is together after World War II, 1949, NATO was started.
Sure.
To help, if somebody's in trouble, we go help them. If we're in trouble, they join with us.
Okay.
That's what NATO is.
They send, troops and things
right.
Okay, all right.
And if there is no NATO...
Ah, I see. Then,
if like, Russia attacks somebody we don't like,
yeah, then there's really nothing
no,
we can
no
we can
binding
do about
agreement
it. Exactly
that we would
can
help
do
them.
About it. Yeah, okay, all right. Which makes sense from his standpoint why he wouldn't want them. But I mean, us.
But should Donald Trump be saying that?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I still think that there's people in the area, the regions of the world that we still, I mean, I think NATO would still be of importance to, you know, I mean.
But maybe Trump doesn't see it that way.
Well, maybe not, you know, I don't know.
By the way, you can call in, share your opinion. We want to hear your opinions. This is not a one-sided show. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
But my only question, though, is I have this question. How are they funded? Are they solely funded by us? Or, I mean, how are they? How's
NATO?
They, yeah.
No, everybody's supposed to pay, and that is one of the issues that some people don't pay
because
who are involved.
I was going to say, if they're just solely funded by us, I could kind of see where he's coming from, you know, but I didn't know if we just paid
We pay a big share.
Okay.
We pay
okay.
a big
oh,
share.
Oh, okay. All right.
But we are a bigger country.
Right. Sure. Okay.
And some people are behind on their payments.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Okay.
Well, let's just keep on moving so we don't harp on anything
here. Sure.
In an interview yesterday, Trump said that he trusts Merkel, the leader of the free, as much as Putin until he's given a reason not to.
Now, who's this guy? Who's Merkel?
Well, Merkel's a woman.
Okay.
Let me get this exactly
me,
right.
I know who it is.
Angela Merkel.
Okay, I apologize. I didn't know.
But she's an ally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Angela Merkel is a German politician who is currently Chancellor of Germany.
Oh, okay.
It's Chancellor of Germany. But she's always been an ally for us.
For us. Yeah.
And Trump said he trusts her the same as Putin.
Yeah.
Until he's given reason otherwise. Now, you've got somebody who's always been our ally,
uh-huh.
Angela Merkel. And you're
kind of lumping them together.
The person who just hacked the elections.
Yeah, you're kind of lumping them together.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
He said, I trust them the same until I'm given reason not to. What do you think?
How could you even... I mean, you know, he was known to hack the election, and you put him in the same light as this lady? who's known to be an ally.
I mean, I understand his point of view to some extent that... Until I meet the person, I don't judge.
Sure,
but
sure.
Is he not getting me intelligence briefings on Putin? Now, if he would have said that about, I don't know, some other it's kind of hard because there are we know evil people.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We know that. It slipped my name. What's the guy in Syria?
Assad. Yes,
we know Assad's
yeah.
evil.
Mm-hmm.
We know Kim Jong-un is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he had said. I trust Kim Jong-un and Angela Merkel the same until
yeah,
I know,
yeah.
trust differently.
Right.
Why is he always fascinated with Putin? That's what I can't understand.
Damn.
There are other dictators.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's Assad.
Sure.
Obviously, there's Kim Jong-un.
Uh-huh.
And there is Putin,
uh-huh.
who doesn't claim he's a dictator, but you check
yeah.
the elections out.
Yeah.
Why would you trust Angela Merkel the same as Vladimir Putin? Who's an ally, a total ally?
Oh, yes. That's the surprising part is that he says that he trusts her about as much. You know, I just can't understand the connection there. You know, the core. I don't know where he's getting at with that. You know, I mean, because to me it's evident. Like you said, you can't really base your opinion on a person until you meet him. It's obvious that he's met Putin.
But I don't know.
He says
no.
He hasn't, but.
Well, he said both.
Yeah.
He said, I met him during the Miss Universe pageant, and then he said, I never met him. So I don't know if he has met him or not.
During the Miss Universe pageant, did Russia win?
No, I don't think they did that
year.
Oh,
okay. I didn't know. Because he may have come up missing otherwise.
I heard they might have hacked the judges' boxes.
Yeah, that's what I was
joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. Don't call. Don't email. It's a joke.
That's how they got their start.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I mean, I understand, I guess, from a point of view
uh-huh.
that... You want to meet the person before you know if you can
sure,
trust them or not.
Sure.
But Angela Merkel, who's an ally,
yeah.
a total ally,
yeah.
wouldn't you say, I mean, obviously
they've been great friends to the U.S. for, you know, personally, I don't know her, but they've been great friends with the U.S. for, you know, for whatever years, you know, I don't know.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, boy.
Friday, yeah, it's coming.
It's coming, yeah, whether we like it or not.
Okay, now this is something also he said in this same interview with a foreign newspaper.
Uh-huh.
He said he would be willing to lift the sanctions against Russia that President Obama just put in. He said he'd be willing to lift them if Russia makes a deal and reduces their nuclear arms.
Reduces their nuclear arms.
Hmm. Does a nuclear arms reduction.
Yeah.
And he'd be willing to lift the sanctions.
Well, I don't think that they're going to do that.
No, I would doubt highly that they're going to do a nuclear arms reduction.
But I would still, I don't know how likely we are we that he would be to enforce those sanctions.
Well, if he lifts them without getting anything, mm-hmm. where does that leave us?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if he lifts them and we don't get anything in return now, I mean, come on.
What do you think? Well, you know, it's all Putin. He's got a weird interest in Russia. Yeah. That's what I don't understand. Why I can understand talking about Russia periodically, but why is it always Russia? Why is it always Putin in all his conversations? Why doesn't he ever talk about Kim Jong-un? Why doesn't he ever talk about Assad? Why doesn't he ever talk about these other evil people in the world?
There's got to be some kind of deal that's going on, or, you know, or he's, or something. I don't know, a golf course or a hotel or, I don't know, something.
But he can't do that.
I know, but...
You know, this is the story that got under the radar last week that nobody was reporting on. The ethics guy at the White House, the guy who meets all the presidents and says, okay, this is what you've got to do so you're not going to get into any trouble,
mm-hmm.
came out last week after Trump did his press conference when he said he divested himself of his businesses, gave them to his sons. The guy went on television and said, this is not enough. You're going to be in trouble here. You're not doing the right thing. Mm. Nobody covered that.
Yeah.
Is this trouble?
Well, I thought that lady from the IRS or whatever said he was doing things correctly.
I don't know who she was.
Well, she was on there.
During the press conference?
Yeah.
The one who stood over in front of all the papers?
Yeah, she said.
What do you think was in those folders?
I don't know. But she stood there, and of course he approved. But, you know, the way she made it sound was she said that was exactly the way it should be.
Yeah, but the ethics guy is saying
right.
No.
He said
you're creating problems here.
Mm.
Because if your company takes any foreign money, are they trying to get favor with the government? Because you're obviously going to talk to your sons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, now his son-in-law has a clearance or whatever. So, so does that give him, you know, can he negotiate? I mean, I don't know, you know. I mean,
and to my knowledge, he has not sold the hotel down the street from the White House, which foreign leaders stay in, which are paid for by foreign countries. Doesn't he realize... Did he realize he was running for president and maybe he should divest himself from some of this stuff?
Well, I think with him, he probably thought he was so big that he didn't have, you know, he don't have to do that. You know, the rules don't apply, to him.
He's not president yet, so he hasn't had this trouble.
Yeah, right.
But his toes are getting on the line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think he needs to get his wings clipped a little bit here, you know. And
I do not want to see him fail.
I don't either.
So I want him to get it right. So listen to the ethics guy, Trump. I don't want you to be in trouble here.
Yeah, I just, like I say, I just think he has that attitude that now we'll see what kind of tweets comes out about this guy. Because he's picking on him now.
Oh, it'll be a tweet. That was another story. It was a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Last night he tweeted in so many words that the head of the CIA was probably responsible for leaking that information on him, the Russian dossier report.
Like I say.
Now he's accusing the CIA.
Yeah, and anything, like I say, anything you say that's not what he agrees with, you know, if in his mind, if he thinks you're picking on him or what, you know, then he...
Well, and here we go. The House and the Senate are working to repeal Obamacare.
Okay, yeah.
They're working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen the replacement plan yet.
No. Nope.
But Trump did say, now he said, we're going to have insurance for everybody. And he said, Congress, you better do it, because he said he's getting ready to unveil this plan.
Okay.
He said there's going to be no cuts in Medicare. Everybody's going to have insurance. Life's going to be wonderful. And he said, Congress, if you don't pass it, I'm going to do a tweet storm on you.
Oh, my. So that's their wake-up call to get ready to pass
because
this.
You know Congress doesn't want to spend.
Right, yeah.
That's their worry.
Sure.
But Trump says, you're going to do my plan, or we're going to have trouble.
We're going to have trouble.
Because I told these people that I'm going to give them health care. So we can repeal Obamacare. You're okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But here comes my plan, and I'm going to unveil it in a few days.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it'll be all unveiled at the inauguration.
Probably right after.
Right after, yeah.
And he says, everybody will be covered, and there will be no cuts. He said, every American will have health care. Now, that's not a Republican issue, is it?
No.
Well, what happened there?
I don't know. Kind of went off the tracks there a little bit, you know.
And he said, you better do it,
yeah.
Congress, or I'm going to tweet storm. I'll be relentless on you.
Mm. And you know how he is with that Twitter. I mean, he's...
So, to me, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one good thing I've heard him say so far. You know, I like the sounds of that, you know. But... What kind of
I don't know, but apparently he doesn't want to make any cuts.
Yeah, well, I love that, though. I mean, you know, no cuts. That's good.
Do you think when he has power and finally starts meeting with these congressional leaders and Senate leaders that it's going to be a little... Do you really think he's going to fall in line with the Republican Party?
Boy, that's iffy. I don't think so. I still don't think a lot of them really... I don't know if I don't want to use the word support, but I don't think really a lot of them kind of still buy into what he's, you know. Because some of his views and stuff are not theirs, so.
Well, that's right. They just wanted to get that thing repealed,
yeah,
out of there,
and
gone.
Yeah, and be done with.
So is this Trump care?
Well, what is this called? Yeah, I guess that's what we'd have to get Don care.
And would you consider it a Republican thing?
Boy, that's a good question. I think it would maybe be an American thing. I mean, that's probably what he would, you know, he would call it as the first step in making America great would be.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, here was the really big news story over the weekend. The eruption of hostilities between President-elect Donald Trump and civil rights icon Representative John Lewis may be recorded as just one more example of what has become standard Twitter retaliation for Trump. But coming on the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend is also reignited the passions around Trump's difficult history with African Americans, the group of voters whom he might be most alienated with as he prepares to move into the White House. In an interview on NBC's Meet the Press on Friday, Lewis said he did not regard Trump to be a legitimate president because of allegations that high-level Republican Russian operatives interfered in the election on Trump's behalf. Trump lobbed back with a tweet in the early hours of Saturday morning that disparaged both the congressman and the district that he represents, which includes some of Atlanta's most affluent neighborhoods. Atlanta's most congressman, this is what he tweeted, Trump. Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart, Trump wrote. Not, in fact, he needed two tweets to finish his thoughts. Mention crime infested. Rather than falsely complaining about the election results, all talk, 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 no action or results. Sad. Now, do you think John Lewis, the civil rights leader who was led the Voting Rights Act and got beat up on the bridge in Selma and almost killed and bloodied, is all talk and no action?
Yeah, no, he's definitely a man of action, that's for sure. I mean, I don't think he would be, you know, he would have a thing like that not, you know, have a plan of action. I mean, he's definitely a man of action, that's for sure.
Trump say all talk, 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 no action.
Well, here we go. It was something he didn't agree with. And you
well,
know.
He said, I don't regard him as a legitimate president,
well,
and I'm not going to attend the inauguration.
Yep.
And apparently now it's like 20 congressmen are not going to attend the election because of the way Trump responded to the tweet.
Well, they'll be the next ones to be tweeted on then, I'm sure, because he's like I say, if anyone that says anything that's detrimental to him, he doesn't.
Well, let's take what started this. Let's not so much, because we all, I think, consider John Lewis is not all talk.
Right, no.
Okay, so let's go where we start this. Because of the Russian interfering, do you consider Donald Trump a legitimate president? Was it okay for John Lewis, a congressman from Atlanta, to say that?
Absolutely. I think he had a right to, you know, to say that. I mean, I think a lot of people don't look at him as a legitimate president. I mean, they look at him as a businessman who won the election, but...
But Hillary is going to the inauguration.
Sure, you know. I mean, I think it's okay that she, you know, that she goes, and I don't think that these congressmen that aren't going should be in, you know, I mean, that's fine if they don't go. I mean, it's their opinion.
But do you think it heals the country to say that he's not a legitimate president?
Well, of course it doesn't, but I mean, it's some people's opinion, you know. I mean,
should he have said it in the media?
He probably should have. Maybe should have maybe kept it to himself, you know. I mean, but.
But are people furious because they keep getting told it didn't matter, Russia didn't matter, he was going to win anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we know?
Yeah. I mean, we just kind of, you know, we just, the people made up their opinion or made up their mind on November and they voted for him, and so.
But did Russia have any impact on that? That's what Congressman Lewis is saying. And apparently there are going to be hearings now.
Okay.
So right into Trump's presidency, the first thing he's going to run into are Senate and House hearings. And they have subpoena power.
Yeah. Do they have any emails from him? Or?
I don't know what they're going to find.
Yeah.
But they have subpoena power in this, too.
Ooh-wee.
They can subpoena anybody in there.
I wonder if you'll see Putin get subpoenaed.
I don't think Putin comes to the United States to answer subpoenas.
Right.
But, I mean, a lot of people could be subpoenaed. People in his campaign.
Sure, yeah.
Did anybody know anything?
Right.
If
anybody does know anything, would they?
See, here's where the subpoena gets in trouble. This is what got Bill Clinton in trouble. Bill Clinton did not get in trouble for doing what he did with an intern. Bill Clinton did not get in trouble because he did that in the White House. People argue that. But that's really not what he got in trouble for.
Uh-huh.
What he got in trouble for was lying under oath. Because they were investigating him, and he lied about that under oath.
Oh, okay.
Well, once Congress has subpoena power, if any of Trump's people, or Trump himself, who I'm sure will be subpoenaed in this, lie under oath in any way, which he's been known to do, I'm not saying that he's... He just, under oath sometimes, normally, he just sometimes doesn't tell the truth. Like when they ask him, have you met Putin? Well, one time he said he did, one time he said he didn't. If you lie under oath, that's a federal offense.
So, and then there could be some consequences, you know, for that. But the thing is, will something happen between that? Like, will he make some executive order, I don't know, or something that kind of...
Well, I think if you try to wipe out these investigations that... it's going to be pretty obvious why you're doing it.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, according to him, he keeps saying he has nothing to hide or what.
If he has nothing to hide, then the investigations will happen.
They will
find nothing and life will go on.
In the meantime, too, is he ever going to reveal his taxes?
I've never heard it. He said in the press conference last week that the American people didn't care about that. Only the media cared about that.
Oh, okay. He might be right. I don't know.
Well, do you care about it?
I'd like to see
him. You're the American people.
I'd like to see him, yeah. I would definitely like to see him, sure.
Do you think that he might have had something to do with... Because we know that Putin interfered.
Yep.
Do you think Trump knew about it?
I do.
You do?
I do.
That's trouble.
I know it's weird, but I just really do. I honestly, I mean, every time I hear him talk, it just seems like... He's covering up something to me.
Does he put you in the mind of Richard Nixon?
I don't know if it's quite that bad or not, but he just to me, like I say, it just always seems like he knows more than what he's letting on, you know, that he knows.
I don't know. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I really do too, but honestly, every time I've heard, I mean, every single speech I've heard he made and that question gets asked, he's on the defensive. I mean, it just always seems to me like he's got something to, I don't know.
Well, another story that kind of got under the radar this past weekend was Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn, who will be Mr. Trump's national security advisor, spoke with Sergei Klosky, the Russian ambassador to the United States the day before President Obama imposed sanctions on Russia for election hacking to arrange a phone call between President Vladimir Putin of Russia and Mr. Trump once he becomes president, a Trump spokesman said Friday. This is interesting. Mr. Flynn's secret call did not violate the law, Mr. Trump's spokesman said, but under the circumstances, it is bound to raise eyebrows. The call centered around the logistics of setting up a call with the president of Russia and the president-elect after he was sworn in, and they exchanged logistical information. Sean Spicer, Mr. Trump's spokesman, told reporters on a conference call on Friday that it was plain and simple. Several news organizations reported on Thursday on the calls between the two men. David Ignatius of the Washington Post suggested it could have violated the Logan Act, a 218-year-old law that bars American citizens from negotiating without authorization with foreign governments that have a dispute with the United States. And this Flynn said he was changing Christmas greetings. So what do you think?
See, no, I mean, it's, you know... Have you had contact with them or not? Have you, you know?
Well, they admit they had contact.
Do you know him or not? I mean, if you're exchanging Christmas wishes with somebody,
why the day before the sanctions are being put on them for violating the hacking into the election? Why would you take that day to call and try to set up a phone call between Putin and?
See,
Trump.
To me, it almost seems like the reason why the call would have been made was maybe, do you think he was maybe letting him, kind of filling him in on this that, hey, these sanctions are going to be.
Well, I don't know.
Is it a
violation of the Logan Act? Because technically Donald Trump's still a citizen.
Sure.
And so is his staff. Uh-huh. They're not in there yet till Friday. Did they interfere?
Well,
by calling the ambassador to try to set up a meeting.
It seems like it. I mean, I don't know exactly how the law reads or whatever, but it just seems like it's very, you know, very, very...
Well, it reads that you cannot do business as a citizen. Now, a member of the government You cannot do business as a citizen.
Would people, you know, people are going to say, well, is calling trying to set up, is that doing business? I mean, you know.
Well, is it?
I think it's a form of trying to do business, maybe.
Now, Trump was elected, correct me if I'm wrong, on November the 8th.
That's correct.
Why would you wait more than a month and on the day before the sanctions are imposed to set up this meeting?
Like I say, I just think that, you know, he wants to let him know that this was coming down, and, you know, I think so, you know.
Why is one of the first people he wants to talk to Putin?
You know.
What other meetings have been set up?
That's the thing. If there's been any others, they've kind of pushed them off to the side. We don't know about them, so. Because this is obviously the most important one because of.
But why? What is the issue? That's what, you know, a lot of people have said on this show, it smells like smoke, okay?
Yeah.
Well, when's the last time something smelled like smoke that wasn't smoke?
Right. That's what I say. I mean, every time I've listened to him, it just seems to me like there's something that he's hiding. You know, some kind of information.
Why place that call?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that fits in the equation, but they're
I mean, even Trump's people admit they placed the call.
Yeah.
But it was just to say Merry Christmas and to set up a phone conversation.
Okay. But why do you need to set up a phone call?
Why?
And see, there's just something there that's just not kosher. I mean...
And you have to go back to the election hacking. Why did they want Trump over Hillary? What is the answer to that?
Right. I think that they see Hillary as they seen her as maybe being tougher on them. I guess if that's the word I'm looking for, tougher in a sense of she would obviously, you know, keep the sanctions in or, you know, and things like that. And
are we headed toward a good time here? Friday, we're 5 days away.
Uh-huh. Well, it's going to be a good party.
But apparently there's 100 protest groups that are going to be there Friday.
My. That's what I was afraid. I'm sure you're going to see a lot of that, you know, going on too.
But something like 800,000 people.
Wow. That's going to be a bunch, yeah. It's going to be huge.
What do you think it'll be? I can't wait to see it Friday when you see Trump and Melania there on one side and Barack and Michelle on the other, and then sitting in the back there, you got Hillary and Bill and Jimmy and Rosalind and George W. and Laura. What an interesting Biden and his wife,
Dr. Jill
Pence.
Just I don't know, just all kinds of different personalities and, you know, and things like that.
And a lot of people who won't be there.
Yeah.
Apparently 20 members of Congress and growing.
Yeah, I wonder if Marco will be there.
I don't know. And what this? We got 5 days. Are these people going to get confirmed? Is he going to have a Secretary of State when he comes in?
Right. That's
who's going to do these jobs?
Exactly. Yeah, they're going to have to really hustle and get on the ball here this week, or can they postpone it till after? I don't know.
Do you think this is Rubio sticking it to Trump?
To me, it kind of seems like he's getting a little bit back at him.
Here comes little Marco.
That's right. You know, you called me little Marco. Now we'll show you. You know, here's
because Marco. People thought Marco was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
People thought Marco was the heir apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't turn out that way.
No. He kind of got stopped in his track, so to speak.
Yeah, he ran into the Trump train. The Trump train, which was barreling down the track.
Yep.
Ted Cruz ran into that train.
Oh, man. A couple people got ran over by
Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush was the first.
Yeah, he got ran over by it, yeah. Everyone else just tried to stop it, but it couldn't stop it.
But I don't know where Russia plays. It's so much to talk about.
Sure.
Because you don't know.
And it's never ending, it seems.
And you don't want to talk about it every day. We'd like to talk about Beyonce and Kim Kardashian and all those things. But there's always something with Donald Trump.
He always seems to make news somehow. You know.
Well, because he does things that are so unorthodox.
Yeah, yeah.
Like mention that he's going to kick the press out of the White House or say that he trusts Merkel as much as he trusts Putin.
Oh my God.
Or tweets about a civil rights leader and says, talk, no action.
No action.
Any comments? We got 4 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I tell you, Big Don just does what he wants to do.
He does. He just kind of runs wild there, you know, with just.
But can he take that into the White House when the rules, because the laws are not on him yet.
Mm-hmm.
They will be Friday.
Right. Well, I think people hope that he can still continue that same.
He better get his paperwork in order.
Yeah, that same, I don't know if you call it attitude or whatever.
About China? China apparently is thinking about doing a trade war with us. Because he's mentioning Taiwan and talking to Taiwan and violating that act that we don't deal with Taiwan since 1979.
Huh. Yeah, like I say, it just seems like he's, you know, nothing's off limits for him. I mean, he can basically do whatever he wants. I mean,
but can he? He's never had power yet.
Right.
All this has just been talk.
No action yet.
Now, when he finally starts to govern Friday, let's get down to business.
That's a different story. Yeah,
now you're the president.
Story. Sure, and everything falls on you now.
Now, if you do something wrong, you could be in violation.
Sure, yeah, you could be criticized, and you can be absolutely.
Now, will the Republicans like him for getting this Trump care?
Well,
because I don't think they want it.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think that. You know, I wonder if they'll try to fight him on this, like they did. You know what I mean?
Oh, that could be bloody, bloody days there in Washington.
It could be. I mean, I'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for me to hear his replacement for Obama.
He says he wants everybody covered, and he does not want any reductions in Medicare. Paul Ryan last week said that there were going to be reductions as people got older. Not to the generation currently, but something had to be done because Medicare was going to be broken 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So people were the age was going to have to be extended and something like that. Well, Trump says no dice. No dice.
He said we're keeping everything as it.
We're keeping it as it is. Oh. I have a plan on the way.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Will Congress pass it?
That's the thing. That's what I'm hoping. You know, if it's a good plan, I'm hoping that they
You think there'll be pressure to do it?
I think there'll be a lot of pressure for him to do it.
But what if they say Trump? No, because now it's a vote. See, before it was just the war of words.
Mm-hmm.
Now it'll be a vote.
Yeah. Oh boy, that'll be Well, like you said, I wonder too. Will a lot of people use this as a chance to maybe to kind of get jab him and get back at him a little bit?
Give it to Trump. You know he'll tweet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. And
if he tweets his own party, does he have any support? Do people like Trump or do they like the Republican Party?
Oh, I don't know. I think a lot of people like him because, like I say, he's kind of off the beaten path, so to speak. But I think
this is kind of the Bernie Sanders mentality, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he, even though he doesn't do a lot of things that we associate with the Republican Party, I think a lot of people like him.
So if he does a Bernie Sanders move here, will the Republicans like
him? But they think that with him being a Republican, and it's still okay to.
I'll tell you what, we're coming back with much more.
WDH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National.